7 out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
Wow, folks, we are running out of racetrack on this show. I think I just put too many guests on. Folks, Cameron Matheson, totally looking forward to this conversation. He's best known to millions of fans of All My Children as Heartthrob Ryan. You know what? And since I never watched the show, I want to start off the interview by being a complete dolt and saying to Cameron, Ryan, is it Lavery or Lavery?
You know, I actually appreciate the honesty because often it's pronounced Lavery, but really it's pronounced Lavery. So okay. Thanks for even asking.
Thank you. Thank you for thanking me. You're very Canadian, aren't you? Speaking of that, okay, hold on a second. First things first, Thornlie. You know, I almost got sent to Thornlie after three other high schools said I couldn't come back anymore.
You know, you say it like it was like a sentence. You almost got sent to Thornlie. Like, what's up with that?
Dude, it was like one of the first semester schools back in the day. All the schools were like terms and stuff. And this was a semester school. And it was kind of, wasn't it like the artsy fartsy? And there was some sweat hogs there as well. Like, what was Thornlie all about?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll tell you what. It was some of the best years of my life. But I think it was regarded as a very artsy school. A lot of artists sort of came out of Thornlie. But, you know, interestingly, and I'm sure this is fascinating to all, recently I shot a movie up in Toronto, and I had an alumni Thornlie basketball game. All of us old guys getting back together and trying to play a game that looked remotely like basketball.
Well, I grew up in Richmond Hill, actually, so very, very close to that neck of the woods. My family has the funeral home in Richmond Hill. Hopefully you never had to go there. Did you move closer to the big smoke from, what was it, like Sarnia or something, or Sault Ste. Marie? Where the heck were you?
I was born in Sarnia, but I was only there for about 8 months and then went to Montreal and finally landed in Toronto.
All right. Well, I just didn't know if you moved to the big city because you needed constant medical treatment, because that Perthes, man, dude, I saw some pictures of you when you were a kid with those braces and the whole deal. Hopefully you didn't have to go too much into grade school, because kids are torturous when other kids have got to go through stuff like that.
You are so correct. I wore it for 4 years, all in grade school, so it was... It was really, really harsh. It was tough, you know. I mean, but in a way, I think it helped me develop a lot of compassion. So.
But now you're a Joe athlete. Do you still have a handicap of 5?
No, I don't. But I keep it on there to make me look cool. I don't play golf. I don't play golf as much anymore. I probably around like a 12 or 14. But I just leave 5 because at one point in time, I was a legitimate 5.
Whatever. Really?
I really was. Actually, I was probably even a little better than that. I used to play a lot of golf, and I used to play on the Celebrity Players Tour and train and practice and take lessons and go up. I mean, it was like my full-time, part-time job. It was a lot of fun.
The biggest thing that kind of thrilled me about you, aside from how beautiful your wife is, is a celebrity slam dunk competition at the NBA All-Star Weekend. Did you really smoke Terrell Owens?
No, I did not smoke him. But here's the thing. Okay, first of all, there's a few things I didn't put on there. Number one, he was dunking on a 10-foot net. I was dunking on 9.5. That's a big difference.
Right, a Fisher-Price net. Okay, yep.
No, it was a legitimate 9.5-foot net. So for whatever that's worth, put it out there.
Yep.
However, I was I could dunk on a 10-foot net, but nothing fun, nothing like fancy. I was on a 9.5. I could bounce it between my legs off the backboard and alley-oop it to myself and stuff. So I
wow.
practiced, and I did tie him. So we tied, and we had a sudden death dunk-off, and he missed his first dunk. This was in San Francisco when he was playing in San Francisco, and he missed his first dunk in the sudden death dunk-off.
Loser.
I made mine. So technically I won, but the crowd there wouldn't have it, and they gave him another dunk, and he dunked over some guy in a chair, and it was crazy, and... So I was like, let me just get out of here before I get, like, I don't know, booed off the stage.
Well, at least you didn't have to skate in front of a bunch of people. I cannot believe a Canadian had to take stinking skating lessons for a movie.
I know,
are you kidding me?
It was horrible. It was a horrible experience. And the whole crew was Canadian. Everybody was Canadian. Jenny Garth, who's American, could skate better than I could. And it was very humbling. It was not a great representation of Canada, and I want to apologize to the entire nation.
Man. All right. Well, as long as Grapes doesn't hear about it. Do you even know who Grapes is? How long have you been out of town for, man? Do you know who Grapes is?
No, I've been out for 15 years.
Yeah, okay. Don Cherry.
Oh, I know who Don Cherry is.
Yeah.
Is that his nickname, Grapes? I never knew that.
Yeah. Cherry. For some reason, they made the segue from Cherry to Grapes, and he got it. But you are, can I just say, you have kicked my butt, and my son's actually in the studio can attest to this. We used to live in Australia, and for his 13th birthday, we did surfing lessons. And how horrible was I, Josh? Horrible, right? But you actually, was it a longboard? Like, I know the dog Ricochet made you look really good, but you still stood up there, man.
Yeah, you know, I think the waves were really easy. It was a longboard, which makes it obviously easier, but that was fun. I mean, you know what? The stuff I get to do for Good Morning America is so much fun. But yeah, I had very low expectations that day. I was just happy if I was going to like kind of get up on the board and yeah, I just somehow it all. Yeah, we rocked it.
Good stuff. Well, here I am interviewing you, and you have been on Dancing with the Stars and on All My Children, and I've interviewed J.R. Martinez, who has been on Dancing with the Stars and All My Children, and you have interviewed J.R. Martinez on GMA, who was on Dancing with the Stars and All My Children. I don't know. It's kind of Twilighty Zone here right now. I'm feeling very... very spooky.
I've got nothing. I'm just gonna let that hang there. And
you know what? That was. I kind of like that guy. He got a real. He's got a real kind of positive stinking vibe. Like if you are doing life with him, I think you're doing life really, really well. He was you don't hang with him or anything, do you?
No, I mean a little bit. Not so much anymore. But when we were on All My Children, we. Hung out a little bit, and yeah, I've only got. I mean, obviously, I think anybody who meets that guy has only got positive things to say. And yeah, he's pretty inspiring. I mean, he's beyond inspiring, actually.
Cameron, when you think back to near the beginning of your career, did you ever think twice about taking a role in a movie called Washed Up?
You know, it didn't even occur to me until I told my buddies I got this part in Washed Up, and they're like, "Are you serious right now? Are you like, are you out of your mind?" Yeah. You know, it was all downhill after that.
Yeah.
Listen, what are you going to do? It was a movie role. It was independent. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most people don't start their careers washed up. But your first appearance on All My Children, I think, was 1998. Yeah. And then you win Outstanding Male Newcomer. What do you get for that? A little spoon or plate on the wall?
I get, like, a lot. I got a phenomenal amount of nothing, really. I mean, you got a little piece of plastic trophy, which was fun, but it's amazing that still is on there, because at the time it was like, I just won an Oscar. You know what I mean? When I got that, I was like, look out. But really looking back, it was quite a humble experience. I mean, there's only so many newcomers, first of all.
Yeah.
Right? So every year there's only so many newcomers in all of soaps.
Yeah.
But I won the best newcomer.
It's kind of like back in the days of the fitness things at our schools at Thorne Lee when you get the participation award, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Yeah, participating.
Like that. Show up for that.
Was that soap opera on for 41 years? Is that information correct?
That is correct, yes. It was on for 41 years. It was, I was on for 14 of them, which is pretty cool.
41 years, and interestingly enough, Susan Lucci also had 41 surgeries during the course. No, I'm just kidding. Can we just gossip? I know, God people, you know, we shouldn't do that or whatever, but Susan Lucci, that woman still has got a sizzle. You know what I mean?
This is really delicate, like, material for me to, like, tiptoe across. But, yes, I will. I mean, she's a friend of mine, and I know her husband and you know, her family. But, yes, she's beautiful, and I my character on the show, I don't know if you know this, because I know you're a huge All My Children fan, actually had a romance with her character on the show, which was, like, I thought was fantastic, because they always have older men and younger women on these shows, and I was, you know, a little bit younger than Susan, so I thought it would be kind of a fun romance, but the fans didn't agree.
They weren't into the coug scenario.
No, it didn't work out very well. Only worked out for me.
I don't know if you can do this, man. I should have prepped you for this, but top maybe seven craziest things that happened to your character.
Okay, my love interest was shot and killed, and she came back as a ghost, and I had a 6-month relationship with her ghost. I died twice. I died twice and came back from the dead. I wasn't actually ultimately dead, it turns out. I wasn't really dead. I was seemingly dead.
Right.
I was shot 6 or 8 times, sometimes in the head. I was married 6 times to 3 different women, but engaged about 9 times on the show. And I also, my number one most horrific moment on the show was when I had to land a plane. The pilot was shot, it was dead, and I had to land this plane on all my children. You know, daytime budget, it doesn't always look that realistic. And it was a painful experience. So I also landed a plane and saved a whole bunch of passengers. I know it doesn't sound like a big deal.
Wow!
But like when you're watching Harrison Ford do it in Air Force One, and you got the green screen and the whole thing, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
But with the budget of daytime, it was a pretty painful experience.
Dude, that's insane. It sounds like the life of Benny Hinn or something. It's just craziness. Let's talk about being backstage at the Oscars with one of my favorite guests from the last couple of years, Sherry Nutcase Shepherd. Which wig did she have on?
She had the one that made her look fantastic. That one. You know that one.
So many interviews over the years. I get asked this question all the time, and of course now I have to say Cameron Matheson. But tell us about a couple of memorable interviews that you've been able to kind of do with the whole GMA thing.
Oh man, I got some of the fun things that I've done. There's sort of the celebrity interviews, which have been very cool. I got to meet a lot of really great celebrities, as you imagine, living in LA. But really, ultimately, the ones that I love the best are the things when they get me to do these kind of extreme segments. Like, I've been to Alaska twice with Good Morning America, once to be flown out into a remote glacier and camp out overnight, and then hike down the glacier in the morning and try and catch a seaplane out of there. Like, that was a wild experience. Recently,
Can't they just use a green screen for that stuff? Seriously.
Yeah, well, it actually was all on green screen. I just tell people I was in Alaska. I could go on and on. I've skied behind sled dogs. I've gone snow kiting in Utah at 11,000 feet. I've been flown to to Hawaii to do like the world's most beautiful beaches segments. I've done like it's amazing. I do the wildest roller coasters in America. I'm going to London in 10 days to interview the new Muppet, the Muppets from the Muppet movie. I know that sounds a little silly, but I'm going to be flying all over. It's a good gig. It's a great gig.
Let me just ask you a little hypothetical here. If Bradley Cooper emailed me and asked me to ask you for some marriage advice, because of your experience in the Lifetime movie, The Surrogate, but also because, as you know, things didn't work out so well with him or with you, with Jennifer Esposito. What kind of marriage advice would you give Bradley Cooper for when he finally decides to settle down? Because, it looks like you could write a book on this, man. You're doing pretty good there, buddy.
Well, I was waiting for the sarcasm to come out. I was kind of like, all right, where's he going with this? I don't know. But thank you. I'm going to take it like you're being sincere and genuine. And I'm going to, okay, all right.
I am. Well, I mean, you come a long way from moving in on a girl whose friend spilled a drink on her,
Yeah, well, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, that was a slick move. Honestly, to anybody, I have come a long way in this relationship. So I think number one is you've got to put in a lot of hard work. You've got to really be willing to improve yourself and be willing to listen to your partner and hear what they have to say and want to become a better person, a better husband. Like, I think that's that's part of the spiritual path in general, but in marriage, I think it's extremely valuable. And then another big aspect that I think has really helped us kind of do all right in the marriage department is learning to take our own part in every little dysfunction, in every argument, in every difficult situation, to really try to keep things on what was my part and present it like that and watch the blaming and the finger pointing And I think what happens, the more you do that, the more both parties kind of really want to take responsibility for what their part was. And it just it makes for, like, incredible communication and honesty and trust. And I think that's a couple of secrets out there.
Nice. Nice. Well done. Cameron Matheson on the phone with us. We're going to talk about this this movie that Cameron's in that's coming up on GMZ. But I want to just talk about the kids real quick, because I have a couple of kids. Actually, one of them sitting in the room with me here, my 24-year-old son, Josh. But your daughter, is it Lila or Layla?
Layla.
Layla probably thought you were the biggest freaking rock star of the century when you interviewed One Direction.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because I did this really fun interview with One Direction in front of a live audience. And like, the interview was broadcast over the audience, right? So they were, like, hearing the answers and the questions. And I got to meet them, and it went great, and they loved it, and GMA loved it, and for my daughter's birthday, all she wants to do is get One Direction tickets, and I'm telling you, it's as if they've never even heard of me. I'm like, does anybody remember this great thing that we did for them out in Chicago in front of, like, 12,000 people live, and it went awesome? And they're like, Cameron who? Yes. You know, we're like scrounging to get scalper's tickets. It's very humbling. It's good for my humility.
That is hilarious. What a great story. Is it a little weird, the fact that you're going to have a teenager in a few weeks? That's got to be weird.
Yeah, jeez, that is weird. God, man, that just kind of landed on me. Let me just absorb that for a second.
Yes.
I mean, it's just gone so fast. He's a good kid, though, man.
He looks like I don't want to get all Dr. Phil on you here, but he looks like a really stinking nice kid, you know, like he's got a nice disposition, I guess some would say, in the horse industry.
Yeah. Again, I don't know exactly how to come kind of like down off that, but he is a good kid. I'm not saying that because he happens to be in the room. No, he's not in the room.
Okay.
But even if it was, if he was listening, we got very lucky. They're very kind and compassionate and loving and sensitive kids, and I think these days that's pretty rare.
So you're sort of playing a guy sort of like, what's his name? Hold on, Jesus, right? Where you touch this kid who's apparently dead, and you bring him back to life. There's a lot more to this story, and I'll make it sound better in a minute. But I want to get to this. I don't know, the kind of the God stuff, the spiritual stuff. Growing up in Canada, back in our day, the United Church was pretty big up here. The Catholic Church and the United Church. Did your family do much churchy stuff growing up?
Not a ton growing up. Not a ton. A lot of I think in our household it was really about kind of living it, and my parents definitely demonstrated a lot of the things that one would get out of church. So we didn't actually do a lot of the formal going to church, but what we did get in our family growing up is just incredible amount of kindness to others, and trying to have a lot of equanimity towards all, and love and compassion, and other-centric minds instead of a lot of self-centric. So I think in general, it's easy to find that up in Canada. I really believe that. I don't know. It seems like it's
we're nicer.
Goes with being Canadian. Yeah. I didn't say that. I'm in the heart of Los Angeles right now, so I got to be careful.
So, but as far as your like, look, I interview celebrities about what they believe, right? Whether it's Alice Cooper and his Jesus stuff, or Marie Osmond and her Mormon stuff, or Larry King, who's an agnostic, used to be Jewish, and he's married to a Mormon, whatever. Do you sort of land somewhere with faith? Do you think there's a God? Like, where are you at with all this stuff?
I am a very spiritual person, but I don't get specific in my interviews exactly, about my belief system. But my main kind of practice is to really incorporate it into my everyday life, into my actions, into being a dad, into a husband, a friend, especially in the entertainment industry, to really kind of work on, obviously, virtues like love and compassion and selflessness and things like that. Especially in this business, I think it's pretty rare. So I spend less time kind of talking about my belief system and more time just trying to really kind of live it and be a great example out there. That's my goal.
That's a pretty solid answer, man. You should be in politics. That was awesome. Seriously, that was a really good answer. Like, even the guys in the room are sitting here. We're all nodding our heads going, yeah, we like this guy. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about this GMC movie here. GMC TV, America's favorite channel for uplifting family entertainment, presents original world premiere, The Carpenter's Miracle. Will make its world television premiere exclusively on GMC Saturday, March 30th and Sunday, March 31st at 7, 9, and 11. Count them, 7, 9, and 11. The Carpenter's Miracle stars some guy named Cameron Matheson and some other folks as well. You know, this guy, if I get the synopsis right, you know, he's just an average Joe. He's happens to be a carpenter. An accident kind of happens, and this boy's in the hospital. And is he full on dead? Is that the kind of? And then you touch him, and he comes to life. Like, what the heck is going on, man?
It's interesting. I know. I mean, the whole basis of the story, of course, is like you sort of alluded to the town kind of imputes, you know, second coming or Jesus on this guy. But really, in many ways, he's nothing like Jesus. He's sort of an introvert. He's not very confident. He's not really connected to others. It was a really good challenge for me to play, because I also play these leading men that are very, very confident and charming and connecting with others and kind of really outgoing. And this character really wasn't. But the movie starts in a very powerful way, where he's saving this boy or trying to save this boy from falling through the ice in a pond and doesn't. Ultimately, the boy is dead. He's pronounced dead. And it looks like a few scenes later that when Josh, the character that I play, go up and kind of touches him and just sort of says, "I wish you could have lived, kid." He comes back to life, and so the beautiful thing about this movie that I think is that it leaves a lot up to the viewer. It doesn't kind of bang you over the head with it. So there's, like, in the movie and in the writing, there's a scientific reason behind what happens. So some people just kind of, and Josh included, says, "Listen, I'm no healer. This is, must have been science. I have no idea. I didn't do anything. You know, I don't like all this attention." And then there's the other side of things where it really seems like maybe this guy has got some, you know, some higher calling on some level. So it leaves a lot up to the imagination. And as far as playing the character, I really loved his humility. I loved the fact that in, you know, today's world, he really wanted nothing to do with the spotlight whatsoever. He was, you know, almost self-deprecating to a degree.
Very Canadian.
And then through saving this boy's life, he ultimately kind of saved his own, you know, through it was really well written in a really nice story. Just a really good, feel-good story.
Well, listen, I don't know what it is about you. I did a boatload of research on you last night, and I think it's the Canadian. It's probably what it is. You do have a humility about you. You're a freaking rock star, and yet you have this humility about you, sort of an authentic kind of deal. And, you know, once you learn to fake authenticity, you've got it made, right?
That's right. I guess so. But I appreciate it. Thank you for saying that, because that, you know, obviously, that really means more than anything, really, at the end of the day. So thank you.
Well, and of course, going around, you know, healing dead people, you should give Mark Burnett a call, because, you know, he might have a new Jesus role for you in his next thing. Cameron, thank you for doing this. Thank you for coming on our show, having a bit of fun. And folks, GMC, you got to check out the movie, The Carpenter's Miracle, again, March 30th and 31st, 7, 9, and 11 Eastern. They got a lot of good programming in that channel, some interesting and inspirational stuff. And Cameron Matheson, you know, threw his hat in for some of that stuff, and he pulled it off. Well done, by the way. Well done. Cameron, thank you for your time. Great to chat with you, eh?
Great chatting with you, too. I really appreciate it being on the show. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Cameron Matheson on the Drew Marshall Show. Yeah, I like that guy. Seems like, you know, a guy's guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, guy's guy. Good Canadian boy.
Good Canadian boy. Thanks, Grapes. Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our $12.50 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show $12.50 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?